At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Believe in FSU Basketball. This is your host, Nick Andre. Appreciate you guys for listening in. I'm also joined by my co-host, Austin. How you doing, man? What's going on?
It's good, man. You know, there's only so much that can be said after a 30-point loss, essentially, to North Carolina. But it's the busiest time of the offseason as we look towards portal and recruiting and everything else. But it's going to be a busy time, even if basketball is not being played.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of questions in store, you know, as this offseason does unfold. But, you know, I guess that's just something that we're going to have to figure out, you know, as the time progresses. But let's start off on a positive note, man. I know that, you know, we talked about the loss in North Carolina, but let's start off on a positive note. So Florida State closed off the regular season, as we mentioned in the previous episode, closed off the regular season, beating Miami at home, played their first game of the ACC tournament against Virginia Tech, which they did win by 10. Jameer Watkins had an unbelievable performance, 34 points, 11 rebounds, 4 steals. Jalen Worley made a huge impact as well with 18 points and 4 assists. Another big thing as well, they outscored Virginia Tech 48-32 in the paint, and I think they really thrived a really fun inside basket. So what were your thoughts on that first game against Virginia Tech?
Yeah, you mentioned it. Points in the paint was huge. And honestly, points off turnovers was the biggest thing.
Yes.
In the last game they played against Virginia Tech in Blacksburg in February, they only had 7 points off of turnovers to Virginia Tech's 23. Usually that story is flipped, and it was in this game. Florida State had 25 points off of turnovers to Virginia Tech's 9. That's just how Florida State plays basketball. They get the turnovers, they get out in transition, they score, and then they get to the free throw line, which, you know, same thing in this game. 25 of 30 from the free throw line is how you win in postseason basketball, and Virginia Tech's a great free throw shooting team and went 18 of 24. So to outperform them from the free throw line, to keep them limited on the rebounding, you know, Lynn Kidd only had 3 rebounds for the game. You know, they did everything they needed to do to win that game. And even then it still took a little bravado there at the end with some shaky play, but they got out of there with the win. It was good to see them win in the ACC tournament again, for sure.
Yeah, it was big. And one thing that stood out to me was the second half. Cause I mean, obviously the first half, you know, it was a back and forth event. And one of my concerns that I mentioned before was I didn't want Virginia Tech to really find their momentum from 3-point land because they're a really good 3-point shooting team. And I think we saw it early, you know, Hunter Couture got going, and then other guys did as well. But give credit to Florida State for just being able to slow them down in the second half. They actually outscored Virginia Tech by 11 in the second half, 50-39, which is really huge, which is really a huge part as far as them winning this game. And I think that they just locked in defensively. I think, honestly, I mean, I know that Jameer had a really good game. You know, I mean, his stat line was just incredible. But Jalen Worley was just really good overall. You know, I mean, you talk about his ability to always score inside, but also being able to play make as well. You know, playing in pick and roll, you know, being able to find guys like Kemp Corn, you know, under the basket, you know, for alley-oop dunks and everything. So Jalen Worley was really like a crucial piece to me in this game. And I feel like without his impact as far as scoring and playmaking, like there's no way that, you know, the Florida State would have been able to run off with the lead in the second half.
For sure. And I love the way Worley's played the last month and a half, even. And his free throw shooting's come a long way. I did the math. He's damn near 80% since the start of January from the free throw line, which is huge improvement for him where he's been in his career. But Jameer Watkins was just unstoppable. He got
crazy.
Anything and everything he wanted. 34 points is the most scored by any Seminoles since that Xavier Tan Mays game at Miami where he had 30 points in the final 4 minutes. Just an unbelievable game from Watkins. And, you know, I'm glad if this was his last time we see him in a Florida State uniform from this ACC tournament, I'm glad he gave us one amazing performance against Virginia Tech. And then real quick, I know you just mentioned the 3-point shooting. Virginia Tech started 4 of 7 from 3, and everyone's like, oh, Lord, here we go again. Mm-hmm. I'm going to light us up from 3. And then they were just 2 of 17 the rest of the game from deep. I thought Florida State did a great job adjusting to that. Hunter Couture was just 1 of 7. Sean Padula was just 1 of 6 from 3. when you can limit those guys to that kind of production from three, you're going to give yourself a really good chance to win. And even though Padula made his damage or did his damage inside, the fact they were able to limit those two like that from perimeter was massive.
No, that was the biggest key right there was to slow down the perimeter shooting. Another thing as well was, and one thing that I noticed early in the game was, I noticed how like Lin Kidd was trying to find himself, like he was trying to really establish himself inside. And I think he had some moments, you know, in the first half, but, you know, give credit to guys like the Cam Corns of the world and even the Jalen Gainey for just being able to slow him down under the basket. Because, I mean, there was a few positions where, you know, he had a few rim runs and everything, but, you know, I think obviously with Lin Kidd and his impact on that team, you know, just being able to slow him down was just another incredible thing as well.
Agree. And a lot of it's also due to Jamir Watkins with his 11 rebounds.
Yeah, that's true.
I forget what the rebounding difference was last time these two played, but this time it was 34-25. You know, Florida State's not the greatest rebounding team, as we saw in the North Carolina game. So when they get those advantages, they usually do a pretty good job of taking advantage of it on the scoreboard as well.
Facts. And I mean, everything played a huge role as far as getting this win. I know it left a lot of people surprised. Obviously, we weren't, but you know, I mean, this is a team that we had already beat early in January, like early in conference play. So we already had a formula as far as beating them. But, you know, I think everything plays in a role. You know, obviously offense, you know, they were playing really good basketball. Then, of course, you know, the versatility on defense was really good as well. So all of that led into the win. And, you know, it allowed us to have some momentum heading into the North Carolina game. But obviously, you're going up against the number one team in the ACC. I've been saying it all year, RJ Davis is the best player in the ACC right now. You know, I don't even think it's close right now. I mean, no. And give credit to other guys. You know, Hunter Salas has been good for Wake Forest. Obviously, Jameer for us at Florida State. But, you know, I'll be real. I mean, North Carolina, they were just more physical than us. You know, they dominated the boards. And, you know, that was a big role as far as them getting the win. So talk about the game a little bit more.
It started out, you know, exactly how you wanted it. It was well-paced. Like, it wasn't fast. It wasn't slow. I think it was right at about the right tempo. You know, Florida State went up 16-15 on a Taylor Bulbo in three with about 10 minutes left in the first half. And you're like, okay, this is going how it needs to go. And then Carolina just dominated the final 10 minutes, outscored Florida State 31-14, including a 20-4 run, something I said you just can't allow to happen. You can't let an 8-0 run blew to 18-2 run, which is what happened in this game. You just can't let that happen against Carolina. I thought Elliott Cadeau did a great job of setting the tone with his energy and his hustle. Armando Bacot had really his best game against Florida State in a while.
Yeah.
With his activity and his push-offs and everything else.
That was crazy in the first quarter. Or not the first quarter, like early in the first half, yeah.
I should be used to it after seeing him play for 5 years at this point, but it still just blows my mind how much he gets away with. He still did a great job underneath, finishing at the rim, getting rebounds. I mean, he had 6 offensive rebounds by himself. He had more rebounds by himself than Florida State did for the first, I want to say, 28 minutes of this game. Like, Florida State just could not get a rebound. And even if the final total was 48-22, Florida State didn't get that 10th rebound until I think there was 11 minutes left in the second half. Like, they just could not get a rebound against Carolina's size. And when you can't get a rebound, it's hard to do much of anything.
I agree. There was one position, I think it was late in the first half, where North Carolina had like at least 4 or 5 offensive rebounds on like one possession. I was like, oh my God, like this is just crazy. But, you know, give credit to North Carolina. I mean, I think everybody played a crucial role. I mean, not just RJ Davis. They got good production out of Harrison Ingram. They got good production out of Cormac Ryan. We mentioned Armando Bacot. And then the rest of the supporting cast was just great as a whole. So, obviously, you know, like throughout the first few matches, I thought that Florida State matched up with them pretty well. I mean, I talked about the game in North Carolina back in December. They were up by like 13, 14 points in the second half of that game, ended up blowing the lead. And then even when it came to the Tucker Center about a few months later, you know, that was really a close game as well. So I thought in a way that this was kind of going to be evenly matched, especially if Florida State really, really, really becomes physical in this matchup and they display that defensive versatility that they do have. And then on top of that, you know, I mean, especially coming off of a huge game, you know, I thought Jameer Walker was going to have a much better game, but also give credit to them defensively. I think they did a really good job on Jameer, you know, slowing down his drives, you know, not allowing him like any comfort space, you know, to be able to really elevate. So, you know, that everything played a role for North Carolina in this game. You know, you can't knock how great they were on the defensive end, just really being able to slow down Florida State on that end of the floor.
For sure. I mean, Florida State was 7-15 on layups for a reason. You know, anytime Jameer or Jalen Worley drove the basketball, they were seeing 2 or 3 white jerseys right at the rim. And Florida State's just not a good enough three-point shooting team to take advantage of that on kickouts. Their best bet is to try and finish over the top and get potential and ones. And I'm sure North Carolina knew that Jameer Watkins was upset that he wasn't on an all-ACC team, which is still ridiculous.
We're going to talk about that later. It's crazy.
I'm sure they knew that coming in. They saw his game against Virginia Tech and said, okay, he's going to do whatever it takes. We're just going to throw as many bodies as we can at him and be really physical with him. And, you know, to their credit, it worked. You know, Jameer finished with 12 points, but he was 3 of 11 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3, had 4 fouls. You could tell it just wasn't his best game, and you could tell that Carolina made him the focus.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, Jameer is a guy that I've been saying that I feel like has even though he came into the season as a really good player, I feel like he steadily improved his game as the season progressed. So, you know, like just being able to shut him down was really incredible as well. But let me ask you this, because so Darren Green Jr. had a monster performance against Miami, 8 three-pointers made, but in this entire tournament, he only scored 8 points, shot 3 for 16 from the floor, and only made 2 three-pointers. So do you think that his lack of production offensively was a huge role in, you know, and like, you know, us not advancing?
Oh, for sure. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He stunk. Yeah. He was not good in either of these games. Yeah, you already mentioned he made 2 total threes for the whole tournament. Good Lord. He was 3 of 16 from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need – not only do you can't have that out of a fifth-year senior, that's someone that's supposed to step up in these big moments.
Facts.
And we all felt coming out of that Miami game, oh, maybe he's finally turning that corner that we saw last season. Because I felt like in 22-23, he played pretty well. He faded a little bit down the stretch for that because he was playing, you know, 37, 38 minutes a game. This year he was playing, you know, 28 to 30 for the most part these last few games. And he had that great, great, great performance against Miami, especially in the second half. Okay, if he can carry this to Washington, D.C., maybe they can give themselves a chance. First game, pretty much a no-show, but he did a decent job defensively on Hunter Couture and let Jameer Worley, those two, eat. This game, just he was just a no-show. He really was. You can't have 2 of 10 from your fifth-year senior.
I agree. I mean, especially in these big moments, you know, you have to have your upperclassmen and be able to step up to the plate. And it's like we say, you know, he had such a great game against Miami. You know, you close the regular season off on a really good note. And it's all about carrying that momentum into the ACC tournament. And I mean, it's like you said, I mean, I can't disagree with anything that you said. You know, he wasn't at his best at all. And I've been saying that, like, Darren's scoring has been really important to this team is because obviously he's the best shooter. He's the best pure shooter on this team. So his shooting is very important, especially with this team who doesn't really shoot the best, like, on the outside. So I feel like if you utilize him correctly and he's able to knock down shots, it makes the team a lot better. And, I mean, it clearly showed, especially in this North Carolina game where, you know, where he just was not an offensive factor whatsoever.
Yeah, you can't have it. And I'm trying to pull up his stats real quick, but since January 1st, he's at 38% from 3. If you go to the start of February down, I'm pretty sure it's a lot lower than that.
Probably, yeah.
37%, not including today, so it's probably around 34%, if I had to guess. Throughout February, he was not great. He was around the 28-30% mark, and then obviously the big game against Miami helped.
Right.
You could tell he didn't look interested on the court. And when you're having that from your fifth-year senior, a guy that's supposed to be a leader, that spreads to the rest of the team very quickly.
I agree 100%, man. I mean, like we say, it wasn't the best performance out of the fifth-year senior. And if the season is potentially over after this game, you know, it's kind of like a bad showing and, like, you know, kind of leave off your Florida State career. But let me ask you that. Do we believe that this was the last game of the season for Florida State? Do we possibly see – you think so? Okay.
For sure. I saw one potential bracket that had us in the NIT, and I'm just like, I don't think there's anybody on this team that wants to keep going. Like, maybe Jameer Watkins and a couple other guys, but a lot of guys look disinterested and ready to get out of there. And I'm sure on Sunday, once the bracket comes out and the transfer portal window opens, you're going to see a couple people enter the portal. I just don't think it's in the team's best interest. You know, if they're a really young team that was relying on a lot of freshmen and sophomores, which in a way they are, but I think a few of those guys are going to be the ones that hit the portal. You know, you'd only be going into the NIT with potentially 6 or 7 guys, and I just don't think Ham wants to deal with that. I don't think the fans want to watch it. I just think the team's ready to get on and look forward to next season.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that's not looking to participate in the NIT. I actually saw a quote earlier today with Penny Hardaway, and they asked him if Memphis was going to participate in the NIT, and he said that not a chance. So if Florida State decides not to do it, which, I mean, what you said that they're not, I mean, I could definitely not see them, you know, participating in the NIT.
They may not even get an invite. They're 17-16, which I get. You have to be over 500% in a power conference. I get it. But I'd rather see some of these smaller schools that won their conference but didn't win in the conference tournament. I'd rather see them get the chance. You know, that's going to be a much more entertaining product than a Florida State team that's just been such a roller coaster ride this season, which I know we'll talk about them more this offseason, but they were really up and down, can never find the rhythm, never feel comfortable. You know, the high moments were really high, the low moments were really low. Right. And if the team that showed up today shows up in the potential NIT tournament, no one wants to watch it.
Right. And that's a good point, too, because I've been seeing throughout most of the season that this team is good, but this team is not great, which meaning that, you know, I think that they can compete with a lot of the top contenders in the ACC, which I mean, we have seen them go toe-to-toe against a lot of good teams, but there's also moments where they may be on a low and it's like, next, you know, they're on a 3-game losing streak or they're on a 4-game losing streak. Yeah. So, you know, like, even like, for instance, like at the start of conference play, they won like, what, 5 in a row? Like they won like the first 5 ACC games, or it's, you know, excluding the December game against North Carolina, but they won those first 5 conference games in January. And the next, you know, like we just saw like kind of like a steady decline. And then it was like a roller coaster from then on out. So, you know, there's a lot of things that's going to take place this offseason, which leads to my next question, because you already mentioned it before. So the transfer portal does open up this weekend. Do we possibly see any of the guys possibly, you know, entering that portal?
I've got 3 guys entering for sure. I published an article today, or pretty much right after the game, on what I'm hearing on the roster, what I'm expecting. I think Primo Spears is gone. I don't think he fits. And I felt like he was a lot like Caleb Mills, just smaller. And it didn't work with Caleb. Why would it work with Spears? There's a reason he's on his 3rd team in 3 years, and there's a reason he'll probably be on his 4th team in 4 years next year. Tom House, who just – he hasn't played.
I mean, yeah, he hasn't had a lot of minutes.
He's played in 23 games.
I think, which is actually funny, because I feel like there has been many times where I feel like the team could have used his shooting, but –
it's one of those where his ball handling's so bad and he can't contend on defense that what you could potentially get as a shooter isn't worth everything else. Right. We saw it in the Virginia game in 2022, where his shooting kept Florida State in the game. He was only playing because, you know, Florida State had 7 healthy people, but his shooting kept them in the game. But his lackluster play on the defensive end and his inability to handle, especially that tough Virginia pack line defense, it cost them down the stretch. He's just not a complete player. He's not what Florida State needs. You know, I think he's going to be a great player in like the MAC or the Patriot League or somewhere up there. He's just not an ACC player, and that's fine. And then I think Deontay Green, who, yes, he started 20 games, had some great moments in late November, early December, had that 4-game stretch where he scored double figures, 4 straight games. But once Corin came back from that toe injury, his playing time started to decrease. He was only getting, you know, 8 minutes, then 6 minutes, then 9 minutes. Then the last 5 games, you know, it was 2 minutes, 3 minutes, then 2 straight coaches' decisions to not play against Miami and Virginia Tech. Then he played, I don't know, 8 minutes tonight, 4 minutes in this game. I forget, honestly. But it's one of those that's tough. You know, he's a much different player than he would have been before he tore his ACL in high school. He's kind of been thrusted into the small ball 5 role when he was recruited more to be a 4.
Right.
I just think it's time for both sides to move on. Let him go to a smaller school where he can build that confidence back up. I think he's a solid player. He's an underrated passer. He can stretch the floor. He's physical. He can be that agitator that sometimes teams need. But I just don't know if he's good enough to be a starting 5 in the ACC. He's had moments. He absolutely has. I just don't think he can do it consistently.
Yeah, he's definitely had his moments, and I've been saying, like, Deontay Green, in my opinion, is a really high IQ basketball player, you know, when he's at his best. I mean, you mentioned the passing, you know, he could play in the pick and roll. He's, in my opinion, improved his shooting so he can step out and knock down 3-point shots on occasion. So maybe, and I'll be honest, maybe Florida State isn't the best situation for him, and I believe he could possibly shine elsewhere, honestly. I think that he's a really high IQ player, and he plays the game the right way. You know, he makes the right reads. You know, he can do a lot of things on the floor, so. You know, depending on what other situation he goes into, you know, I think that he would be able to thrive there.
Yeah, and then a couple other players I'm keeping an eye on: Baba Miller, who just, you can tell the last month he has not been happy.
Yeah,
on the basketball court, his body language has been really bad. He's one of those I have no idea. Like in any direction, he could go pro, he could go back overseas, he could transfer, he could stay. I don't know. I believe it's all on the table, and nothing would surprise me. And then I think another one is Chandler Jackson, who's had some amazing moments, but he's also had a lot of questionable things. You know, the suspension before the season, he had that 2-game road trip in early February where Coach Ham sat him and didn't play him. And, you know, the last 3 games, he's only averaging about 7 or 8 minutes per game. I could see him saying, you know, hey, let me go somewhere and get more playing time. You know, maybe this just isn't the fit for me. Again, maybe that's just what's best for Florida State. I've only got, you know, maybe 4 players returning to Florida State next season, in my opinion. And this team needs a facelift pretty badly.
Yeah, it's going to be time for pretty much a rebuild, per se. You know, like basically bringing, like, you know, a whole new team. I think Baba's a really interesting one, because that's been my question is Florida State the right fit for him? Because Baba, in my opinion, is super talented. I mean, it's like I mentioned, you know, in the previous episode, Baba is just super talented. And I feel like when he's able to display his versatility, you know, with the ball handling and the shot making and the passing, you know, just being able to initiate everything on the floor, I feel like he could be a really dominant player or one of the best players out. But, you know, I think we just haven't been able to see that at Florida State. Like, it's like, for instance, like, I want to say his career high is like 14 points, and he got that like earlier this season or something like that. So
was that the Syracuse game? Maybe
I believe so. It might have been the Syracuse game, but my thing is, like, Bob, I think Baba is super talented, and I think if he's utilized correctly, you know, he could be a really tremendous all around player. So honestly, if he does enter the transfer portal and look to go elsewhere, I wouldn't be surprised about it. I don't know if he's ready to go pro. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know if he's ready to enter his name to the NBA draft. And if he is, I don't know exactly where he'd be placed. He'll probably be like maybe a late second round per se. Or, it's like you mentioned, you know, maybe even going overseas might be the best fit for him as well. So, I mean, we'll just have to see with Baba.
Yeah, so that 14 points was against Wake Forest. Then it was one of the two, either Wake or Syracuse. But right. I totally agree. I don't think he's ready for the pros yet, but he's got that skill set. He's got the size. He's got the ball handling. And for one of these teams with 2 or 3 second-round picks, just go, hey, let's draft him, stash him overseas for a couple years, and see what happens. Again, like you said, he's immensely talented, so talented. But there's definitely a clear disconnect between him and the coaching staff on how he wants to be used versus how the coaching staff wants to use him. And we'll see where that leads them this offseason. Like I said, there's not a single result this offseason that would surprise me with what he does.
I agree 100%. So I'm sure you've heard a lot of these rumors over the past few years, per se. I mean, especially throughout this year. What do you think is next for Coach Ham and the Florida State Seminoles program?
He'll be back. Okay. Florida State's in a weird spot right now where – well, one, they're suing their conference. So even if you do like Coach Hamilton, what you know, bright up and coming coach is going to want to go, do I really want to join a school that's suing their conference? You know, that's something that a lot of coaches are going to ask.
That's true,
whenever
yeah.
It opens up, even if that's next season, which I imagine. And just from what I've been told, the athletic administration just has higher priorities than finding a new basketball coach. And that includes, you know, finishing the football only facility, you know, continue to raise funding for football, and, you know, it's a football school. That's always going to be the first priority. I think they'll let that Coach Hamilton roll out in his last season. Could they set up a head coaching waiting situation? Possibly. I haven't heard anything about it at all. But we'll see. But I fully expect Coach Hamilton to be back. He's still hungry. He still wants to prove that he can coach and prove that he can build a contender. And I think he's more willing to lean on the transfer portal this year than he'd been in the past couple of years. You know, I get it. He's older. He's not used to it. So it takes him a little bit to catch up to that. And if he can fully buy in and bring in 3, 4, 5 guys that can contribute at a high level, then, you know, you could be looking at a good team next year. But that's a lot of ifs and a lot of work that has to be done. And a lot of guys that aren't Josh Nickleberry coming in the program, because they can't have that kind of dud as a transfer coming in. They got to get guys that are ready to play ACC basketball right away.
Now, as a fact, I mean, especially with how good the conference can be, you know, especially going into the next season. But, you know, especially like coming into the season, I heard a lot of rumors, about him possibly leaving. And I know a lot of the fans, you know, at Florida State, you know, they voiced their frustrations. They voiced their complaints about Coach Ham, you know, a lot of the schemes and a lot of the rotations that he has. And, you know, they were saying like, hey, he could possibly be out this year. But I think with the improvements that they made last year, because they only won 9 games last year, so they definitely made improvements this year. And I know that it was a roller coaster season, but you know, I think this year kind of like in a way allow people to kind of like Coach Ham again, just because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they were able to improve. But I agree with you 100%. I mean, I do believe that he'll be back. And it's like you say, you know, I think that he still has something to prove. And I think with the right situation, and I think, you know, with the right roster around him, I think that he could possibly make something happen again. I mean, this is, in my opinion, one of the greatest coaches of all time. I mean, this guy's led to Florida State to so much success over the past two decades that he's been a part of the program. So, you know, I understand that the past few years has been really frustrating, but who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, in the next year or so, you know, they'll be able to turn things around.
Yeah, the fan base frustrates me when it comes to the Coach Hamilton thing. I'm not trying to call fans out, but like I saw someone say today, he should have been fired years ago. I'm like, when we were coming off a Sweet 16 run 3 years ago?
Exactly. Even in 2020, it was a good year.
Yeah, or, you know, the 21-22 season where they were playing with six healthy players for the last 3 weeks, you know,
right,
and they were first in the ACC at the end of January. It just doesn't happen like that. Like, I don't know when you would have wanted to fire him. You know, I could have maybe bought it last year, but last year was also a one-off where guys were hurt. It was a bad mix, bad culture. And this year was a little bit of a reset. You almost doubled your win total from a season ago, and I fully expect him to do everything he can to turn this roster around. It's not the best situation. I totally get it. You know, Florida State's never going to be a premier basketball destination, but you can win. You can have success. He's shown that he can have success here, and I still believe he can do it. I really think he can, and I still think he's the best option to lead this team going forward.
100%. I 100% agree with you. And I mean, some programs, you know, they go through that. You know, they have their moments where, you know, where they're one of the top contenders in the country, and then they have moments where, you know, they're trying to figure themselves out, you know, trying to get themselves back on the right track. So I think that's the situation that Florida State is in right now. So should they get rid of Coach Hamilton right away? No, I don't believe so. You know, especially with his resume and everything that he's just been able to provide to the program. So, you know, I agree with you. I fully expect him to be back. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. And, you know, we'll just see what has to happen, you know, from then on. But last topic before we get out of here, you mentioned it earlier. Jameer Watkins was an honorable mention on the ACC team, which is crazy to me. I don't know how he doesn't make any of the top three teams, which is crazy because, I mean, he leads the team in three different categories. He's averaging around 15.6 rebounds, nearly three assists, and over two steals. So it's like, I don't know, it's just really insane to me how Jameer had never made one of those teams. And I feel like he was definitely one of the best players in ACC.
Absolutely. He was the only player in the conference to average over 15 points, over five rebounds, over two assists, and over a steal and a half. The only player in the ACC. And the fact he was honorable mention is disgraceful. Right. He was so good. 19 games, including today, scoring in double figures. You know, there's not many players in the ACC that are doing that. Even RJ Davis only had 9 points against Duke last week. Jameer Watkins has been so consistent. He's been the best player on the floor 70% of the time he stepped on a basketball court. And I wish I still had my vote in the ACC. They really restricted who got a vote this year. I would have had him first team. And that's not me being biased. I was flipping with him and Quentin Post for that final spot on first team and the first spot in the second team. I just thought Jameer was so impactful. It's one of those, if you took him away from Florida State probably wins seven games this year.
100% agree.
So good. So, so good. And for guys like Armando Bacot to be second team, for Sean Padula to be third team, which I do like Sean Padula, but he's not better than Jameer Watkins.
Right.
Like, it's disgraceful, but somehow it's not surprising because it's the ACC and it's Carolina voters. And the way they changed the voting is they allowed the schools to pick who they wanted to vote. And the Carolina schools are going to pick who they want to vote, always.
He should have been first team. You know, I mean, so, let's
just call it. At worst, second team. At absolute worst.
Exactly. I mean, I'm looking at the list now. I mean, like, I like Blake Henson. You know, I think that he's a really good player. Personally, I got him over Jameer. Or I got Jameer Watkins over him. That's just my personal opinion.
He's one of those where his performance over Duke had such an impact on the voters. Because, I mean, he torched Duke. He was like 7 of 7. So, and he also had 41 points like 3 weeks ago. So, I get it. I'm not that upset with him being on ACC first team, but keep going.
No, I feel that. I mean, Armando definitely. I mean, you definitely got to have him over. You definitely got to have Jameer over Armando Bacot. And I mean, like, a lot of these guys on the list are not bad players, but I think Jameer is definitely, I mean, it's like you mentioned to me, I think Jameer has definitely made a bigger impact on his team, you know, stepping in, you know, and people also got to take it into consideration as well, you know, coming from the transfer portal, this is your first year with the school and you thrive as the best player on the floor, you know, which is really incredible. So it's just insane to me how he doesn't at least make all ACC second team, especially with the impact that he's had. And, you know, just, and it's like, it's just things that he, like, that doesn't go on a stat sheet as well. Like, he's a terrific all around defender. You know, he can provide tremendous ball pressure. He can even defend under the basket if you need him to. Like, he has so much versatility on defense. Like, it's crazy.
Which, speaking of defense, he wasn't on the all-defensive team. He didn't get a single vote for defensive player of the year. The ACC media just doesn't watch games, I'm convinced. They just look at the stat sheet. Like, ask any Duke fan that watches other games and ask if Kyle Filipowski was deserving all-ACC first team. 90% of them say no. He wasn't exactly that good this year. He played soft. He was pushed around a lot. He faded in some big moments. He was not all ACC first team. He just wasn't. And then even if you look at the all defensive team, Baycott on the all defensive team, why? Seriously, why?
I don't think he's been that good at like throughout this. I mean, he's been okay this year, but I don't think he's been great this year personally.
He's been a good rebounder, but I don't think he's been a great defender.
Right.
And I get it. I mean, not always defense.
Exactly. And I get it. I know that North Carolina has been consistently the best team in the ACC. So, you know, you got to add those guys in. But nah, like, I don't know. I just can't. I can't see it.
And I'm sure some people will beat up the argument if Florida State was better, then maybe who would have been on the teams? Well, Norchad O'Meara was second team, and Miami finished 14th in the conference. Quentin Post was second team. They were 11th in the conference. Who else? Who else I want to? Marcus Burton for Notre Dame. They were 12th or 13th. You can't use that in an argument when these guys are on the list. I just don't get it. I really just do not get it, unless, you know, a lot of these are the older media and say, hey, Florida State's in the conference, we're not going to reward them for having one of the 10 best players in the conference. That's really the only thing I could come up with.
Exactly. And even third team. I like DJ Horn for NC State. He's good. Harrison Ingram was good as well, but not over Jameer Watkins.
Like, which Harrison Ingram averaged 10 points and 9 rebounds, by the way. That's your all ACC third team selection over some of those 15, 6, 3, and 2.
Exactly. Like, he's doing it from so many different perspectives, and it's like it just doesn't get recognized. But I get it. I understand that Florida State had a really roller coaster year, but, you know, you still got to give, you know, some type of credit to Jameer Watkins, especially, you know, with his first season in this conference and just being able to dominate the way that he did.
Yeah, he went from really a bench player at VCU last year to a potential NBA pick in one season.
Exactly.
You gotta reward that.
Right. But I think it's clear as day that whoever's voting in the ACC is not paying close attention the way that they need to be. And, you know, this is going to be something that I'm sure a lot of fans are going to be upset about for a little while now. But
I don't exactly think it's an accident that 4 of the 5 first team All-ACC players were from the Carolinas. I just don't think it's an accident.
No, I get it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they have such a story, history, and everything, but I don't know. Like, you got to put your bias to the side, in my opinion, sometimes. Totally.
Yeah. Which I would be the first person to say I am biased. You know, Florida State's been my whole livelihood, but I can also watch a game and realize that Jameer Watkins is one of the 5 to 7 best players in the conference. He just is.
Exactly. But like I said, at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is, man. Shout out to Jameer Watkins for having such an incredible all-around season. I mean, even if this was his last game playing for Florida State, you know, definitely wishing the best. If you ask me, I would love for him to run it back.
Oh, for sure.
And definitely see what, you know, he can do, you know, in his senior year. But that's just questions that we're going to have to wait for moving forward, man. But that'll wrap up this episode, man. Once again, Austin, appreciate you for coming on once again. Definitely let the people know, you know, where to find you and where to find your work.
Yeah, on Twitter/X at EasyVZNG. You can also find me at SI.com/basketball or /FSU/basketball. Sorry. Those are the two easiest places to find me. I've published 3 or 4 articles today. Another one's coming tomorrow, and it's going to be a busy weekend if these transfer notifications come soon, which I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Yes, sir. Make sure to be on the lookout for that, man. Follow myself on X or Twitter at NickAndreATR. I got some articles coming out as well for Chop Chat. Shout out to Chop Chat. Be on the lookout for those. And Make sure to subscribe on anywhere that you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. Make sure to leave a review as well. Once again, we thank you guys for tuning in, and we hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.